My name is Sandra Barrett, and on behalf of University College of Syracuse University, it's my pleasure to welcome you here today to this morning's program. This morning, we're going to be talking about the county's sustainable development plan. We'll have some words from County Executive Joanne Mahoney. As you know, Joni was here in September, talked about the budget. Today's focus is on the sustainable development plan. Currently in her second term of office, shortly after taking office in January of 2008, Joni changed the course of the county toward a more sustainable county. We've heard about the Save the Rain program. We heard a little bit about some of the other issues, but we're going to do a full program today on this plan. Also with us today, we have Don Jordan, director of SOCPA, the Syracuse Onondaga County Planning Agency, Megan, who is the manager of the planning division at SOCPA, and Matt Millay, who is the deputy county executive for physical services, which encompasses all of this work. But we're going to kick it off with County Executive Mahoney. Thank you, Joni.
Thank you. Good morning. I'll be brief because this is a great presentation. This is among the most important things that we're doing in the county from an environmental standpoint, from an economic standpoint. I think you'll see that it's very expensive to not have a plan for how you're gonna grow, particularly in a community like ours where we have a flat population. But I have been very impressed by the work that's gone into this plan. I have learned in my time as county executive that the things that I've been the most successful with have been the things that we've really collaborated with other groups on, and the outreach that has gone into this plan is really incredible, and they'll go through it a little bit to tell you about the different stakeholders and the different groups that they've reached out to. And there is a lot of, believe it or not, and we'll talk about it at the end, there's a lot of opposition, and they even brought the opposition into the conversations, and they've gone out and made presentations about the plan. This is my plan, and it is in a final draft form. I would like the legislature to adopt the plan, and we're kind of waiting now for a public hearing. I know Matt's encouraging a public hearing at the legislature, and I am open to modifications from the legislature or continuing the conversation, but right now, this is my plan, and this is the direction that the county government is under. So with that, I'll leave it for questions, and I'm happy to jump in at the end with the questions if you want me to, but otherwise I'll turn it over to Don. Megan.
Thank you, and I think I'll stand up and do this so I can cheat and look at the screen while I'm doing this, but I need my clicker. As Joni was saying, this is a presentation on the Sustainable Development Plan. We were here a few years ago with some of our trend research as we were just getting started on this process and trying to decide what direction we wanted to go with this plan. So we're excited now to come back a couple years later and come back to you and share with you some of the things we've found, some of the things we've learned, and solicit even more feedback and more questions and comments about what we have found and how we can move forward together towards sustainable development here in Onondaga County. So I think Joni answered the question, but why do we need a development plan? First and foremost, the reason we need a new development plan is because the last one was called the 2010 plan and it's 2012. The plan that we have in place was created in 1998. It's called the 2010 Development Guide, and there's also a framework for growth document with a lot of research and background in it. And as you can see, it's a pretty static, pretty bland looking document, black and white. You had to come to our office to take a look at it. So we really wanted to update it for sort of the new millennium. We wanted to make it more accessible to people, more colorful, more interesting. Although a lot of the concepts in it were good, we really felt it needed a new look at it and bring in some new technology and some new ideas that have come around. So in meeting with the county executive and members of the community, we set forth a couple of priorities when we started this project. First of all, we wanted to have an inclusive process that involves as many stakeholders as we possibly could. That was one of the criticisms of the last plan. It was fairly limited in its outreach, and then therefore it sort of fueled a little bit of skepticism. So we really wanted to open up that process, and I think we've really done that. We also wanted to build upon those elements of the 2010 plan that were good. There were a lot of concepts that talked about sustainable development even back in the 1990s, before sustainable development was sort of the buzzword that it is today. And we also wanted to develop and implement a plan that protects the natural environment by protecting and preserving the built environment, and understanding the relationship between the two. So to take a step back and take a look at where we've been since we adopted the last plan, we undertook quite a bit of trend research over the last couple years. So of course, us as planners look at the residential development that's been going on in the county, and as you can hopefully see, all of the units built between 1998 and 2010, these are just single family residential units on this map. The red dots are sort of housing units that were built as part of a larger subdivision of five or more units being built at a time. And you can see those are sort of around the edges of our existing built communities. And then the purple dots are just individual housing units that have been built in that same period of time. And those are pretty much scattered throughout our urban, suburban, and rural communities. And this represents about 7,000 plus housing units in this 9 or 10 year time frame. And that's just the single family development, but that's definitely the majority of what's been built. This graphic shows land development. This shows average parcel size for single family units between 1950s and today. Back in the 1950s, we averaged about 0.44 acres per new single-family housing unit. Now we're averaging 1.17. And on that, are the homes that are on those lots are also getting larger as well. But you marry that with another demographic, household size, and the number of people inside those housing units. And while our lot sizes have gone up 30%, our household sizes have gone down 30%, from almost 3.5 people to about 2.5 people. And also added in another new slide here, the census just came out with some great new numbers on sort of the changing demographics across the country that I wanted to sort of pull out and play on. These are some things that we need to keep in mind as we're moving forward into the future. So some demographics in the community that are trending up. Obviously the median age of householders, especially here in Onondaga County, is rising. I think nationally we're at about a little over 50 years old is the median age of householders, up from about 45 a couple decades ago. The number of households who primarily are housing those over the age of 75 is a fairly rapidly growing demographic here with the aging population and longer life expectancies. Single person households, one person households, that's what the top graphic represents. Right now that represents about 28% of the housing stock are single person households. And also you're seeing non-traditional households rising. That's divorced folks, folks are getting married later, single parent households, things like that. And then sort of conversely trending down are those large family households. So, typical married couple households with kids. That's what this bottom graphic represents. The blue is the married couple households, and the green is non-traditional, non-family households. So the green is getting bigger, the married couple households is getting smaller. Two-parent households obviously going down. And then there's sort of the Generation X and Generation Y demographic that we're really paying a lot of attention to. And with the current housing crisis and fear over foreclosures and large amounts of debt and interest in the environment and energy use and all of these things combined are showing a real shift in sort of that American dream of what the preferred housing type is for some of these folks, and really looking more towards urban environments and really not relying on those long commutes, and that desire for connectivity takes precedence over sort of that ideal of having a car that you can get here and there from. They'd rather be on transit with access to the Wi-Fi instead of having the ability to drive to work. So that's something we're paying a lot of attention to moving forward. I think that sort of demographic shift is going to play a big role in our housing preferences moving forward. Also, going back to sort of the trends, we're looking at the other big segment of our land use, which is farmland and forest land. Both farmland and forest land each make up 33%. So 66% of our land use cover within Onondaga County is either farm or forest land. But that number is declining fairly steadily, slowly but surely. We're losing about between 800 and 1,000 acres of farmland each year is getting converted to non-agricultural uses. And while it's a much lower statistic than farmland, forest lands are also being lost as well, mostly converted to single-family development. This is a picture of the county sanitary district. The green is the sanitary district, which is the areas within which you can tie into the county's wastewater trunk sewer system, for those non-engineers in the room. So the green is what it looked like in 1998. The purple are the places that have been added since then. The activities that spurred those additions, single-family housing, no multifamily housing, was the requisite for these sanitary district expansions, nor commercial or industrial development as well. So those areas were added to support single-family residential development activity. And that was about 12,500 acres that were added since 1998. We're also driving more, obviously, our commute times. We prize that 20-minute commute here in Onondaga County, but with the most recent census, our average commute times have finally inched over 20 minutes. So we really need to pay attention to that if that 20-minute city thing is something that we really value. We're driving more, and that's obviously related to CO2 emissions. It's related to our household budgets and how much we're spending on gas and time. So that's another thing that we've been paying attention to. One of the statistics we had was we've been building about, I think in the last 10 years, we built about 60 miles of new local roads. No county roads, no state roads, all local roads, mostly serving residential development. And then sort of a snapshot that brings all of this together, this is a picture of the census-defined urbanized areas. So this is sort of our built-up areas within Onondaga County. The yellow is what was there in 1970, and the red is what's been added to it on top of that through 2010. That's a 92% increase in the size of our urbanized area. So you take all of this development and growth and expansion, and then you put it on top of what our county population's been doing. And we've had a very, very flat population since the 1960s. Since 1970, I think we've lost about 10 to 15,000 people overall. So we've added, and then we didn't. So some of the things that we sort of took from this is we've got suburban sprawl. And statistically speaking, it's somewhat worse here than in other places. We've been adding infrastructure and urban services without adding to our population or the tax base to pay for it. And that's called sprawl without growth, and that's a worse problem. And the trends are taking us in the wrong direction from what we've been hearing in the community, that direction people want to go, fiscally, socially, and environmentally in the wrong direction. So with that, we felt it was time to undertake a new plan, came up with a new fancy Nancy logo, part of the county's sustainability initiative. That has some other pieces, the Climate Action Plan and county departmental operations have all sort of embraced the sustainability initiative in different ways. And we're using this as well in terms of sustainable development. So we broke out the plan into five different pieces, and I'll quickly go through those. So the vision is really trying to establish and define and confirm the vision for the future of Onondaga County and what we want it to look like and how we want it to function. We did that in several different ways. We started out by forming a steering committee, pretty typical. Tried to include as many experts, practitioners in the field, stakeholders, and representatives from affected parties, I guess you would call it, as possible. We included lots of county department representatives, members of the county legislature, a representative from the Association of Towns, a representative from the Association of Mayors here in Onondaga County, the Home Builders Association. And we really valued the great input that they gave us throughout the process, and we appreciate that. We also put together a consultant team to help us with some of the packaging and some of the more technical aspects of the plan. And then this is sort of just a rundown of the schedule of what we've been doing for the past year and a half. All of the different outreach opportunities and public input opportunities on the left, and then all the different components of the planning process that we've been working on the right side. Another thing that we really focused on, first and foremost, at the beginning of this project was a commitment to creating a very available public website for this project, because without citizen participation in this, we're going to get nowhere. So we really wanted to make it as accessible as we possibly could. The address is future.ongov.net if you want to take a look at it. But a bunch of different things on that website. We tried to make it as interactive as we could. We had online surveys, we had little voting exercises, we had all of our presentations and reports you can find on there. We plan to build it up with a lot of new stuff moving forward, and we'll get to that later. Another thing we did actually before this even started was a community planning and transportation survey. We teamed up with the local transportation planning agency here, the SMTC, and we did a statistically valid survey to households within Onondaga County. We really wanted to get an unbiased sort of glance at what people were thinking in the world of planning and transportation. We know that a lot in the planning world, a lot of the same people come to these meetings, and we really wanted to sort of flip that on its head right at the beginning of the process. So we wanted to get a true picture of what people were thinking, and we were really encouraged by the results. We tested out some smart growth concepts and some of the things that we were thinking about, and we found 85% support for a smart growth strategy over sort of a business as usual kind of approach. 77% said develop in existing communities before you start growing further outward. Support for regional planning, support for helping our struggling communities, preserving our natural areas and farmland was really important, and exploring new transportation choices was something that we found. So we were encouraged by the results of that we were going in the right direction. Also at the beginning of the process, we went out to the public and we held what we called an Envision Our Future public workshop to really look for what the ideas were in the community of where we wanted to go. Sort of an open-ended thing. We had a webinar option. We broke out into groups. We had a voting exercise. And again, the top comments that we received ended up being control sprawl, control sprawl, control sprawl. Healthy urban core, energy efficiency made it up there. Consolidating and coordinating government decision making, improving bikes and trail systems, and supporting farmland and open space. So again, some consistent themes are starting to emerge. The next thing we did in an effort to make this as inclusive as we possibly can and learn as much as we could is we tried to go out to each and every municipality within Onondaga County, and that's no small feat with 35 of them. But we thought it was a really important, probably the best experience that we had throughout this process was sitting down with each and every one of those municipalities that we could. Obviously, this is sort of my attempt at a word cloud of some of the things that came out of it. Obviously, first and foremost in everybody's minds is taxes, 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 increase the tax base. This was coming off the heels of the sales tax debate, so that was in the front of folks' minds. In rural areas, there was really a very cohesive desire to keep rural areas rural. We heard that loud and clear. And we also heard very loud and clear was the desire of villages to sort of maintain themselves and reestablish themselves as the sort of microcosms of the community and the centers for activity. And really wanted support of that. So we thought that was very interesting. And then the planning expertise and experience within municipalities is across the board. And I think a lot of the communities would welcome more planning and more assistance in that realm. Then what we did is we held a series of focus group meetings. We tried to pull every expert in planning that we could think of together into a room for the course of 3 days in a bunch of different topic areas and pick their brains on what we should be focusing on, what kind of things we should think about as we put this plan together, and pull in some research that they have done so that we're not sort of recreating the wheel. And we thought those were extremely beneficial as well. And those tie into something later in the process. So moving on to scenarios, I'll go through this quickly. There's a big technical report on our website that goes through this in a lot of detail, but this speaks to what we call scenario modeling, and this is sort of a new tool in the planning realm and the mapping realm that really helps you quantify the impacts of policy decisions, especially as it relates to planning. Sort of takes the things that you value. Do you value how much money is you're paying for taxes, or how walkable your communities are, things like that. And we tie those to two different scenarios, sort of a smart growth future or a business as usual future, and sort of takes that to a future year and quantifies that And what we found was pretty interesting. If we take these two scenarios out to the year 2035, the smart growth future yields quite a few benefits. 17,500 fewer acres of farmland lost to development. 12,500 more households in close proximity to things like grocery stores, libraries, schools, parks. Over 8,000 more households in highly walkable neighborhood places. 6,300 more households supporting an existing sewer system, not an expanded system, but 63 more people paying into the existing system. 30 million fewer miles driven to work each year than business as usual. And then $21 million more in tax benefits and avoided costs to municipalities in Onondaga County, which a lot of people focus on. So there's obviously some pretty significant potential benefits to some of the policy decisions that we're talking about here. So we took this exercise out to the public again. We had a Choose Our Future public open house. We had it in four different locations, and what we tried to do to again try and get a non-traditional audience was we went out to the different parks within the community. We went to Marcellus Park, Onondaga Lake Park, the Manlius Swan Pond. We also went to the On Center as part of the County Planning Federation conference that sort of as a captive audience of planning and zoning board members. And we also did a virtual open house, so people could participate in this online over the course of a couple months and get input there as well. And again, what we found was overwhelming, almost 90% support for the smart growth indicators that we were testing in the overall smart growth scenario. So again, we feel like we were on the right track with where the community was telling us we wanted to go. The third tag that we're going to look into is called elements, and these are the elements of sustainable development as we've defined them. In case you can't read them, it's rural communities and open space, transportation and land use, government finance, water resources, livability and society, energy, buildings and neighborhoods, intermunicipal planning, and last but not least, economy. And these are sort of the different topic areas that we really wanted to dig into and really understand and explore the relationships between these things in our community and land use decision making, because those relationships aren't always clear. So I won't go through each one of these right now, but we wrote about 200 pages worth of research and findings, sort of a white paper in each one of these different topic areas, and I encourage you to go to the website and take a look at them. We found them very helpful to write, and hopefully they'll be helpful for you to read as well and sort of understand some of these topics. Just a snapshot of the water resources one, some of the findings that we took away from that, for example. Again, no surprise, aqua pipelines, municipal sewer lines, the county sanitary district, pumping stations have all grown during a period of population stagnation regionally. Aging infrastructure is in dire need of repair and replacement in a lot of our communities, and those needs are becoming more urgent, and the funding is becoming less apparent, so that's something we need to pay attention to. In our rural areas, increased density to support those rural villages and rural hamlets can be difficult when they don't have access to these sewer and water lines, and we need to figure out a way to sort of solve that problem if we want to encourage compact development in these communities. And there's new ways that we can look into accommodating that. Revitalization versus expansion of our infrastructure is a way to save money and invest our resources wisely. Spend a lot of time talking about stormwater runoff and wet weather flows. They're obviously an issue here, and they do present a challenge to our water quality here locally. So another area we need to focus on. There's lots of places in our communities at the edges that are not conducive to on-site wells for drinking water or septic systems for on-site wastewater treatment. So we really need to be careful in the development that we're approving and looking at to make sure that those lots that we're creating are sustainable with or without infrastructure. And we really need to make sure that we're protecting one of the biggest assets we have here, and that's our drinking water sources. So that's just a snapshot of some of the things that we talk about in the element reports as it relates to water resources, at least. And obviously, the crux of this plan is action. It's not a plan without action, or at least not a good one. We did try to approach this in two different ways. First is sort of character area mapping. And basically, what we wanted to do was create a snapshot of what the different character types are today within Onondaga County. Instead of creating a future land use map, we took this approach and tried to sort of paint a picture of our character areas. So for a couple different reasons. We wanted to provide an illustration of our built-in natural patterns for people to see. We wanted to serve as a baseline for benchmarking change. And we also wanted to use these different character types as a way that we can organize the technical guidance that we provide to communities. We want to build up our website with a series of best practices and suggestions and opportunities that we can make each one of these character type areas better than they are today. So what are the opportunities out there? We intend to create different pages within the website that provides guidance on character and strategies to do so on the website. We're still in the process of building that, and we intend to really beef that up over time to be a resource for communities who don't have the expertise or the staff to really dig into some of these areas and help people think of things that they can do to make their communities better. So one example, within the village core character area type, we've heard a lot about making sure that the public realm is maintained. And one of the opportunities to do that might be the creation of a business improvement district locally. So sort of populate the website with examples of how that's been done. Parking is obviously a concern within villages as well. Making sure that we're doing that in a context-sensitive way and providing examples of how places are doing that is another thing. And then obviously supporting pedestrian-friendly environments through sustainable streetscape design and complete streets. So we'll be building, we've got sort of the strategies, and then we'll be building the resources that go along with that for communities as our way of using our limited resource to help all the 35 municipalities that we are working with. And then we have the action plan. The second piece to action is the action plan. And we've got a big document. It's got about 150 policies and projects and practices within it. So we organized it into basically 8 different policy theme areas. And I'll go through each one of these real quickly. I know we're running a little long. So those are the 8. Just to give you an idea of how we organized this and how we put this together. For each one, we've got our policy theme and some narrative to go along with that to really explain the intention. We also tied it to each one of these projects and practices in a table format. We tie it to a planning scale. Is it regional or is it at the site level? We tied it to a time frame. Is this something we can do today? Is this something that's going to take 20 years to do? And we're fine with that as long as we're doing it. Is this something that we can do sitting up here at this table? Is this something we're going to need a lot of different partners to accomplish? And then to give it some rationale, we tied each one of these back to whatever the different elements of sustainable development reports that it relates to. So it has some rational basis for being in the action plan. So just to go through each one of the 8 real quick, the first one is Grow Smarter. Encourage and support sustainable and fiscally responsible development patterns. And this really speaks to concentrating on making our communities more place-based, quality development, making sure we're focusing our resources wisely to become long-term assets to the community. So really focusing on the attractiveness of our communities and good design. Just an example of there's about 10 to 30 different policies and practices for each of these. We're just going to pull out one per thing. So for this one, one of the policies and practices might be for SOCPA to develop some model ordinances, guidelines, and best practices for smart growth, design principles, and work with municipalities to incorporate those. And we've already heard some municipalities raise their hand and say, absolutely, let's do it. So we're excited to do so. The second one is sustainability pays. This is sustainable development today pays dividends well into the future. And this really speaks to paying on 3 different levels. Sort of sustainable development pays fiscally, it pays environmentally, and it pays socially. Sustainable development really can save you dollars wise use of resources. And sustainability pays also speaks to an initiative that the county executive has put forward to incentivize and promote sustainable development within our municipalities and communities, something that was in our recent budget presentation. And I think we'll talk about it a little bit later on. But a very specific initiative of the county executive to promote the sustainable development plan and the concepts within it. The next one is protect the environment. This one's pretty basic. Protect and enforce practices to protect the environment for future generations. One of the things within that, obviously, is to limit development in our sensitive environmental areas like wetlands and floodplains and habitats, and really identifying those and making it easy to protect those as much as possible. The next one is called strengthen the center. Strengthen and support the city of Syracuse as the region's center of commerce, culture, and innovation. And a lot of times we end up grouping villages in with those because we feel that the villages are sort of microcosms of the center as well. We really need to support them in a lot of the same ways. It really talks about how sort of all our ships are rising and falling together, and without a strong urban core, this region is going nowhere, and we really are all in this together. Whether you live in the core or you live outside of the core, it is the center of our economy, and we really need to make sure that that's a successful place. So one of the initiatives within that, supporting the Say Yes to Education program to provide a needed support for families as well as to attract and retain city residents and sort of elevate the city as a whole. Next is Fix It First. This speaks to sort of our infrastructure investments and making sure that we're maximizing the investments that we're making and making very good decisions for our infrastructure, because infrastructure is very costly. So within that, a policy of the county that we're proposing is extension of the sanitary district, construction of new wastewater facilities or enhancements to county-owned facilities to meet new extended capacity demands will only occur when it's supported by the things we're talking about in this plan today. So we'll be taking a hard look on any sort of expansion of the systems to make sure that it is being sustainable and it is adding value to our communities. So the next one is keep rural communities rural. Again, something that we heard that rural communities want, but they do struggle with the desire for tax base and the desire to accommodate those who want to become part of these rural communities and their ability to maintain the things that we value. Just really recognizing the fact that they have such an economic impact, a quality of life impact, and an environmental impact, and making sure that we're holding on to the asset that we have. So again, recognizing ag as an important industry in Onondaga County that has numerous benefits, job creation, local food, tourism, open space benefits, and minimized burdens on local governments for services. So really protecting the asset that we have in our rural communities. The next one is lighten our footprint. This is really looking to lower our carbon footprint by reducing energy demand, embracing clean energy options, and also just making sure we're using the resources that we have as wisely and as efficiently as we possibly can. Within this, we obviously have the Save the Rain program. Maybe it's time to start a Save the Watt program that really maybe looks at residential retrofits to increase energy efficiency of our older housing stock or something like that. So looking at ways that we can sort of help organize energy efficiency. Oops. And then last but obviously not least is plan for people. Making sure that the decisions we're making and the projects that we're working on are enhancing quality of life and addressing the needs of our communities. Focusing on things like increasing our public health, access to jobs and cultural opportunities, and making sure that people's daily needs are met. One of the things under here is encourage siting and design of senior living facilities. Obviously, that's going to be a growing segment. We've seen a lot of projects come through our office recently for projects, new senior living opportunities. But we really want to make sure that we're maximizing those projects to be the biggest benefit that we can, making sure we're maximizing walkable access to neighborhood amenities and transit and the things that really add value. So that's just another example. So those are the 8 different policy theme areas. Again, I encourage you to take a look through the whole document. There's a lot more in there. And we really are committed to implementing a lot of those. And then just a couple words on the plan itself. We want this to be a living plan. The plan, we have a couple print documents, but we don't have a lot of them. We want you to go to the website and take a look at this. As a living plan, we really want this to be an evolving plan. We don't want to consider it done and then go back and revisit it 10 or 15 years down the road. We want this to continually evolve with new research, new ideas, new resources, all to be accessible to governments, citizens, business, anybody who wants to participate in promoting this plan and learning about the dynamics here in Onondaga County. Future.ongov is obviously the website. We encourage you to take a look at it. There's lots of different things you can find on there. You can sign up to get our newsletter on there as well. And then one more slide on feedback. Right now we're in the feedback stage. We've obviously got a draft final plan in place. We're bringing it out to a number of different venues. We rolled it out in June at our Planning Federation Conference. That's all of our sort of local planning and zoning board members. We've talked to the legislature's planning committee. We're continuing those conversations. We've brought it out to the focus and stakeholder groups and the Home Builders and Remodelers Association we've been having a dialogue with. And again, we've been trying to get back to each and every one of our towns, villages, and cities, all 35. The map here represents we've gotten to almost all of them. We're still in progress, but we've spent a lot of time in the last couple months going out and having a very direct dialogue with each and every one of those municipalities. We've received some mixed feedback from those, and I think we'll talk a little bit more about that and kind of refer to some of the criticisms a little bit. We'd be happy to talk about that. But we're taking the process slowly. We encourage your feedback. We encourage your support and any questions that you have. And thank you.
Nice job. Megan and Don have really, and their entire team has worked tremendously hard on this, and it's no small feat to do two loops around all of the towns and villages, and to do all of the public meetings that they've done, and to get beat up at some of them on our behalf is a courageous move on their part. But I think you get a really good sense of where we're coming from collectively, and you certainly heard the county executive take the ownership of this and saying that this is her plan. And I have 9 county departments in my portfolio, all of which are really touched by this plan. And this is the most important document that's driving a lot of the decision we're making with roads, bridges, water, wastewater. And it's important to note, though, that this, you didn't hear anything about home rule. Towns and villages will still control their own destinies. We're not attempting to mandate anything upon the communities within the county. What we're suggesting, though, is that there are costs to these decisions. And when you see that red zone around our historic urbanized area, and we have road expansion into them, what we've talked a lot about, the county executive and I will sit down with the DOT commissioner, and he'll say, we have to spend $22 million on this intersection because more people live on the other side of it now. And there's triggers like that that you don't think about. There is no development impact fee in New York State. Other states like California assess the entire developmental impact of a 400 home development going in the north area of a non-urbanized area, and they say to that developer, well, in 15 years, that intersection will likely need a $20 million renovation. You have to build that into your business plan. So all of the taxpayers of the community don't have to pay for that improvement down the road. You have to right now. We don't do that in New York State. And what we're suggesting in this plan is we need to be much more careful going forward, particularly if we're not seeing population growth. And that's the real key. And that's why Megan pointed out, we do have sprawl, and here it's worse than in other places. Other places are sprawling. Austin is sprawling like crazy, but Austin is also growing at 10% a year in population. Their tax base is growing. The contribution to their revenues from sales tax and income taxes and property taxes is growing with it. We have the same amount of people supporting more services every single year. And what we're dealing with on the sewer level in particular, and that's completely our responsibility, is we can no longer have unbridled expansion of our sewer system, because unfortunately there is no long-term asset management plan in our county and most counties to deal with the historic costs of 100-year, 50-year, 25-year-old systems that are kind of just underground and waiting to explode at some point. And we deal with that every single day within our sewer system. So we're very firm from the county perspective, and the county executive has given us very firm instructions on this. No additional expansions of the sewer system. It will be very, very difficult to get an expansion of the sewer system in Onondaga County as long as she's the county executive. And that's very important. And what we hope to see in 10 years is that expansion is pulled back a little bit. There's areas where we expanded the sewer system where we don't need it to be expanded. So there can be a dialogue and a trade-off and a case-by-case discussion. But it's very important that the county keep a close eye on the expansion of that sewer system, because what we will be talking about, and it'll be a future Thursday morning roundtable discussion, I think, is where we're going with how we charge for our sewer and water services in Onondaga County. But I did want to stress that What you didn't hear about here was mandates and taking over control of local planning. We want to help with local planning. We want to help with model zoning and model ordinances. We want to make sure that we're backstopping communities that want to see expansion of the economic base. This is about, we could call this the real property tax stabilization plan instead of the sustainable development plan if we wanted to, because that's really the fundamental crux of sustainability, as Megan mentioned. Protect our environment, but also make sure we have strong economic opportunities. So how are we doing on time? Yes.
And I just want to publicly thank Don and Megan and Matt for their work on this. But this is something that really I would hope would have a lot of bipartisan support, because you saw a lot of goals in there that cross all sorts of political boundaries. I mean, the reducing our carbon footprint and making more walkable, more friendly communities, making sure that we're building our new senior housing somewhere where people aren't just put like in the middle of a field somewhere and you can't get anywhere without a car. We're trying to people first. But it's also, as Matt just alluded to, this is the way that you reduce taxes in Onondaga County. It's very simple math. The same number of people are paying for a lot more infrastructure. It's just basic math. And if you say that you want to reduce property taxes in Onondaga County, you have to stop building things that we have to pay for when there's no more people here. I have to take a little bit more money from everybody here to pay for the roads and the sewers and the water lines. And, you know, it is something that I would hope would have bipartisan support. Megan alluded to some of the feedback that we've gotten, and we do recognize that towns and school districts get the revenue that they need by having more people in their town paying school taxes and paying town taxes. That's how they pay their bills. So there's a real resistance to our effort to try to limit growth in, say, the one I use a lot is like the Jordan-Elbridge School District. There's a desire to keep it rural, and there is a need for the children who attend the Jordan-Elbridge School District to have what they need, and the place that they get it, because their teacher salaries are going up and their pensions are going up and their costs are going up. They want to build more houses, bring more people in that are paying taxes. But we're trying to educate the whole community. You know, as Megan said, we all rise together. The cost of a house that would really be a net benefit in the town of Elbridge would have to be over $400,000. The house would have to sell for over $400,000 for it to truly be a net benefit, because of all of the other costs that are going to be associated with building in that more rural area. And we have, these aren't theoretical. We have a real life example right now of an intersection that was not that long ago in a sleepy part of our western suburbs that is in need of paving. We can get federal dollars to pave, but only if we bring the intersection up to federal standards. And with the population that is now around that intersection, we have to add turn lanes, we have to widen the road, we have to go get, rights of way from people. We can't take the federal money to improve that road unless we want to build that road so that more people can get further away from where we are. This is a real life example that we're pushing back on right now, and we're gonna spend county dollars to kind of repair the road to avoid this $22 million expansion to an intersection. So these are not only environmentally friendly, not only more beautiful, not only the right thing to do, but this is how you reduce taxes in Onondaga County, is you stop adding to the cost that we have to spend for the infrastructure. And I want to leave you with one more thing before we open up for questions. In the not too distant past, when Jim Walsh was in Congress, we got a lot of federal money for our sewer department. That money is gone. And the improvements that we make to our sewer system and the expansions, that's on local sewer rate payers now. And we see looming costs that we've tried to kind of smooth out for people so that you don't see a spike in your sewer rate. We went to the legislature earlier this year and asked for a modest increase in the sewer rates over the next 5 years, a little one every year for the next 5 years, to get us to a position where we can maintain
that asset and not risk things exploding underneath us, as Matt so eloquently told us. But the legislature would not go along with it because there's a real desire to keep rates down, keep taxes down. I understand that. But you can't keep building things and then say we're not going to raise the rates to pay for it. So we have some real issues on our end. We're trying to work cooperatively with the towns and villages. Some of the feedback that we've gotten ranges, I think we're communists, right? So yeah, I think, yes, we're UN conspirators. And Matt has, I think, an example of some of our opposition, right? There, Glenn Beck doesn't like sustainable development plans. But it is a Republican and a Democratic issue. I firmly believe that, you know, there are people, there are farmers in our community, and the whole world is understanding now the value of local food, and, you know, we have a great asset here, and we should not be taking our farmland and turning it into cul-de-sacs. But what do you say to the individual farmer who has their retirement out there in a field? They don't have a family member that wants to take over the farm. They have a developer that would pay them a lot of money for that farm and then build houses that people would buy. And how do you tell the farmer you can't sell that to a developer because we're not willing to bring our sewer out there? You know, his retirement is out in the field. That's what my sustainability pays plan is supposed to address. It's supposed to incentivize the behavior that's good for all of us collectively, because my question back has been, how do you tell his neighbors that they have to kick in for it? Because it's going to be more expensive for you if we build that cul-de-sac on the farmland. So it's a complicated issue. They've done an unbelievable job of bringing people together and putting a comprehensive plan together. I'm hoping that you will see the benefit of it and start the conversation in the community, encourage the legislature to hold public hearings, and get some support for making this an official county policy. But whether they like it or not, it's my policy, and it's my water department, and it's my sewer department, and we're not expanding the sewer unless I get direction from them to do something else. So with that, does anyone have any questions?
We're going to want to catch this for posterity.
A month ago, I met a man on Long Island who inherited about a 5-acre piece of land from his father on water that his father used for fishing. And he now wants to build a house on it. And the Long Island County Planning Commission says, you absolutely cannot. And he claims, et cetera. Who has the backbone in this community to say no? And how is that going to happen?
I'm going to take Matt's chair. Well, it's more than backbone. I think we probably all have the collective backbone, and we have turned projects down. There have only, I think, been two projects that have been green-lighted while I've been here, and it's because they were in progress when I took over as county executive, and it didn't seem fair to the developer who had millions of dollars invested in the projects because they thought they had the permission before I got here. But there's home rule, and that's one of the issues that we have. That we cannot, nor do I want to, tell the towns what the residents of the towns can and cannot do. So I cannot, as county executive, tell somebody who wants to build in Pompey that they can or they can't. What I can do is say, we're not going to bring the sewer out there if you build there, and we're not going to bring, you know, more infrastructure, roads, county, there's certainly not going to be any more county roads built, and we can have all of that backbone. But if a town says you can build there, then people are ultimately going to be able to build there, and the town has the incentive to do that because that person is going to pay their taxes, and that's going to go into the school district and the town coffers. And so it's not just backbone. We should have a county-wide tax sharing policy. And I've talked about this for the last 5 years. I've asked folks up at the Maxwell School to look into it. I know Don and Megan and I have talked about it. But we should be valuing as a community, and people who live in the city should be compensating Tully and Pompey for its willingness to stay green and stay rural, because we all value that rural area. there should be smarter policies. It shouldn't just be that this one of 35 municipalities in Onondaga County is in it alone, and the decisions that they make are, you know, just bordered right around them, because that's not the case. What you do anywhere in Onondaga County, and arguably on a more broad regional base, affects everybody that's here. So we should be sharing our resources more wisely, you know, and that scares people when I talk about that.
What are your assumptions about population growth into the future? And secondly, do you think that 35 municipalities in Onondaga County is sustainable?
I'm not an expert, and maybe Megan and Don can tell you what trends look like about population. I know that we're not going to grow if we continue to be one of the most expensive places to live and work. And this is an effort to make us more competitive, and maybe we will see growth. No, we cannot continue to afford 35 separate municipalities. But it's been a slow process. We had three things, I think, in the last couple months. The people who live in the village of East Syracuse were told that they would save $250 a household if they would let the town of DeWitt police their village. And it failed 70-30 or 80-20. People wanted to pay the $250 so they could have their own police department in the village. That's their decision. That's the decision they made. There were two up in the northwestern part of the county, Lysander maybe, Van Buren, where they talked about changing from an elected highway superintendent to an appointed one so that perhaps the two towns could share services. Those both were defeated 75% to 25%. So they're not decisions I can make. The voters have to make them. That's why this is very valuable to us, for you to take time out of your day, listen to the facts, and then take that out to your families and friends. And it's not sustainable. We would do things a lot more quickly if we were just able to make decisions, but you know, this is messy democracy, and I love it.
Just to add to sort of the first part of your question about population projections as part of this plan, within the scenario modeling exercise we did, we thought we would do something that's not typically done. We projected zero population growth. We took sort of a pessimistic view of that, and we still got all of those different results from it by just changing the way that we're planning and making policies for the same population that we have today projected out to the year 2035. So that had zero growth in it. But that's not our goal. It's not our intention. We feel very comfortable that within the urbanized area that we already have, we can accommodate as much population growth as we can get. At one point in time, the city of Syracuse had 250,000 people. Now we're less than 150. So we've, in theory, got room for about 100,000 people just within the city of Syracuse, and that's probably our most densely built-up area already. So the opportunity is pretty limitless to accommodate within the urbanized area. It's going to be difficult, but we can do it. And also, when we created Sanitary District back in the late 60s, they were projecting at this point that we would have about 750,000 people living here in Onondaga County, and that's obviously not the case. So the infrastructure that we built decades ago was already built for a much higher population than we have today. So we're in a very good position, I think, for population growth.
Hi. County Exec. Could you talk a little bit about what a grand plan looks like for infrastructure? I mean, do you know where the worst problems are? Do you do it on the basis of what money might be available for certain areas? But is there a big plan? And I think I know that we'd sort of gotten in that position because legally you couldn't have a sinking fund years ago to replenish and save. So maybe a little bit about that.
I think within each operating department, obviously the Department of Transportation has a very good handle on the status of each and every one of their roads. WEP does individual studies on each one of their sewer service districts. to identify the current needs, the overdue needs, and the future needs of each one of those. I think it's sort of one of the goals of this, and it's one of the projects and policies within this, is to do some more long-term asset management planning to really get a great handle on where we want to go and what investments are going to be the priorities for us moving forward in the long term. Short term, I think there's a significant handle on the county's assets, at least.
And to that specific point about a sinking fund, for the first time we have done that in this budget that just passed the legislature. We set some of the fund balance aside to address future debt because we know that it's looming and we want to be in a position to pay it without spikes in people's costs.
Congratulations on a great plan, and it really points out some obvious things that we all have seen, but it's great to have it all in one place so you have a plan for the future. Could you talk a little bit about one of the issues, lessons learned from other governments, is that you have to have the capacity to make decisions, and particularly at the municipal level with 35 local governments, it seems like there's so few that have professional capacity. What efforts is the county going to be making in order to improve the capacity for them to make their own decisions, and at the same time to develop 20th century technology in terms of infrastructure management, in terms of information, GIS, taking advantage of GPS, what people have the capability to utilize on their phones in order to manage their governments?
Thank you.
Well, part of the initiative that I put forward in the budget that I call Sustainability Pays is resources for the towns and villages to update their planning documents and zoning documents. And it's really an education process. I'm not able to make the decisions, again, nor do I want to, for all the towns and villages. But with, I believe, good information, people will ask their local governments to make those decisions. These folks can talk more about using GIS, and that's Don's expertise.
Well, I guess one of the things that we did hear loud and clear from the municipalities was they would welcome whatever assistance we could provide. One of the things that we've already done is we secured an EPA grant where they came to town and provided technical assistance to the town of Pompey to help them with some of their planning initiatives that they're working on. And we've heard from a number of other communities that they would like to work together to start to, you know, advance some of the things and implement some of the things in the Sustainable Development Plan into what they're doing locally. I think through our outreach meetings, our feedback meetings, one thing we did hear along the lines of technology is making resources available to municipalities so that they can make and inform decisions on land use and things like that. And certainly GIS is one of those opportunities, and the idea of a shared or centralized or enterprise-wide GIS system that would make that sort of data available to all the communities when they're making their decisions. So that's something that we've talked about and that we plan to work on. I know the Sustainability Pays initiative would certainly support those things, and we're looking forward to that sort of taking off into the future.
Thank you all. Thank you for the presentation, but especially thank you for the thorough and what sounds like a really progressive plan.